Brass Tack Sunday. You know, sometimes it's hotter off air than on air with these discussions. Ken has to wrap up. I'm going to let him wrap up. And callers, I am coming to you. Let me apologize profusely from the bottom of my heart for having you waiting this long. Sometimes this happens. Ken.
I just want to say, Corey, that as I said before, I sit here and play several programs, listen to several programs on relationships, and the good lady is... I am very pleased with madam's comments. I hope I'm correctly addressing you, ma'am. I'm very pleased with her comments, and she's balanced and fair. And I hope this is more than being balanced and fair professionally. But meaning, you know, if you're not speaking professionally, I am sure that you would continue to be balanced and fair. Except that kind of spirit, that kind of balance, judgment, I am not sure that it filters right down through the rest of her fraternity with the experiences that you hear. Pardon me, that's, you know, and the experience that we have had personally and so on. It seems that as soon as a male and a female appear, and that is true, it seems as soon as a male and a female appear, that the person sitting on the other side automatically takes the side of the female. It seems that way. It does seem that way. And if you take a quick survey, even around this table, you will see that I'm bored out of that. You know, as I said, before you were here, a very, very good friend of mine, did you hear that?
Yes.
You know, and no. I mean, neither the male or the female spoke. But the judge at that time says, "Ma'am, do you have anything you want to say?" Kind and soft, looks at the man and says, "Give me a minute, and no." And he bursts out of tears in court.
Me. I've had experience where the very opposite happened too.
You know, that is so wrong.
Some women feel that a particular judge was harsher on them than on the male. Look, as I said, nobody can speak on behalf of what happens in that courtroom. That judge is independent.
But invariably,
we have to do, ahead, however, is to continue, and this is what I believe in, advocacy. Mm-hmm. Send the message out there. This is how we feel. And I think that eventually it will be heard.
I want to jump in here just to say, though, invariably, just as you said, there are more men who probably don't support. I think there's more, in more cases, where the men are treated harsher, because I think coming back up socially, women are known to be soft and so on, and they would be spoken to, because I told you this happened to me throughout my school life. And men, you know, like, you taught them a little harder. That's just how we've been socialized.
And I think, too, you have to give some credits to the fact that they're all human beings.
Correct.
And one of the problems is that if you were like me, when I presided over that sort of court for 6 years, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying I was guilty of it, I hope I was never guilty of it, but you have 1,000 cases a week, okay?
Where it sticks on a fifth.
which literally are about a man not paying maintenance. I think after time, you may, being a human being, developed a sort of
attitude.
Mm. I like your honesty.
Yeah. That happens.
But I noticed that the moment she started to speak.
I like your honesty.
I also tell you that when having left the bench, I can even see it more clearly because I'm at a distance from it. And having then having done these consultancies where I had to study all the international models and so on, you also develop, you move beyond your own society. Mm-hmm. Let me explain to you one of the problems where you get. Women in this country carry an extraordinary burden of care where children are concerned. This is statistically so, as you know. The majority of children in our country grow up in a situation where the mother is the head of the household. This is something that we've got to deal with. This is not just Barbados, it's our region. And it means that more often than not, the mother in a situation is the sole breadwinner in that home. Mm-hmm. She is the laundress, the cook, mm-hmm. and she's also mm-hmm. the person who has to discipline, where she offers
and sure love.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She's got to do everything. And then you have a man probably visiting.
Why is he visiting? Wait.
And the aggravation often occurs because, probably unreasonably in some instances, that she says, well, here am I doing all this thing? All he has to do is show up and bring $10 and he wouldn't even do that. Mm-hmm. So this is how you get a lot of anger. I'm not condoning it. I'm just understanding the adversarial nature. But what I'm trying to advocate is to let's get out of that. Let us move away. Let us find ways to reduce that whole warfare in the court.
I want to say this, and I want to use my experience. Now, when I thought about marriage and children and so on, I had this whole magical, mystical type of imagination of how it would be, right? And I think recently, and because I believe I'm analytical, I was able to put my finger on something many others may not have. I think there's a biological reason for some of this as well. Because I always thought I'm going to be the perfect father, I'm going to do this with the children and so on. And in the early years, that first year, year and a half, you realize you're completely useless. Especially when the child cries for breast milk. There's very little you can do. And I think that I came up...
Well, I thought there would be little you can do. May I step up?
No, you can jump in.
I don't like to interrupt. The way I've been brought up, I don't like to interrupt. I like to hear you out. So that's why I don't jump in. But that is not true, and that's a myth we have to get rid of. Because men...
That, but that's my experience, I'm telling you. So how you can tell me that's not true? That's what I...
No.
That's what I felt.
No, that's what you felt. But I thought you... You were also saying there's little you can do in a global way. I'm saying that you were misguided. Mm-hmm. And if the mother of that child did not give you opportunities, because the only thing that you could not do in that situation is actually breastfeed. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying there's so much
else. So I'm saying, yes, you change pampers and all that, but I'm talking about the child's dependence for the mother. Like, for instance, I'm talking about nighttime. Who gets up at night? Yes, I get up at night, but I still have to depend on her to provide the breast milk.
Have you never heard of situations where couples make sure that breast milk is
you pump it off and so on, and try all of that.
But what I'm saying though is that I am advocating that even if it's a breastfeeding situation, get up. Let both of you be there.
I did that. What I'm saying is I had it thought out in my mind a different way, because and this is a particular case, so I don't want to focus in on that. But sometimes what our child wants beyond the breast milk is to feel the mother and feel that warmth and all of that. So sometimes what we're trying to do, I don't want to go too deep in it. You take off your shirt, you're feeding breast milk, cry. No, give the mummy, stop crying, go back to sleep. I'm like, I felt like chopped liver.
Let me run away here, Corey. Let me make this last point and run away.
I fly down for a reason. Thank you very much.
A man can never be a woman. God behave like a woman. Mm-hmm. Neither vice versa.
Correct.
This is why I said we really have to go back and, if possible, start this thing all over again, because we get making too many mistakes. A man can never behave. There's a role for a woman to play in life that she must play. And if that role is not played, the apple cart upset, vice versa. And Madam spoke just now about the poor lady having to do all these things. She must get frustrated, bro. She must get frustrated. And the fella showing up with whatever, supposed to bring the $1 million. He's not bringing love. He's not there when the child cries, when the child stubs its toe. He's not there, vice versa. So, we got to go right back and start all over again. I'm very sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but I really have
to bed. Thank you.
I want to say something, Corey. Okay. I need to say this here.
Let me stop you. Although I don't want you to come here after not being heard by the judges, not being heard by the moderator, but we have some callers on here for the longest while. Okay. Let's get in a couple of those. Okay. Don't forget your point. We can come back to you. Good morning and welcome. You're the first caller to want to say welcome and good morning. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
Are you okay?
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I have one or two things to say, because I can't say we haven't got much time left. But one guy, he said that sometimes you see an 18-year-old man in court, but he's not even a man yet, he's a boy. And there's a 21-year-old or 18-year-old pregnant, and how that happened in between there. I mean, it had to be between the two of them, so please tell him don't put down the girl. Mm-hmm. And the next thing is, I did hear one man say about the children. The man is asked to support the child, and the child doesn't live with her. Maybe the child lives with her mother. Now, that is fair and well. But more often than not, when you hear about these men saying they can't see their children, sometimes they don't want to see the children, or if they can get the children, where are they going to take them? Because they have a few children dotted over the landscape,
mm-hmm.
and he is in another relationship. Now, he can't take that child to where he presently lives. The woman is not going to accept that. Don't mind how much she says, oh, goji, 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 when it's time and finish. Take this child from here. Don't leave it. It reminds me of an affair that you had. Now, men are more readily to accept a woman who's got a child or children. A woman, if she gets into a relationship with the man, even if the man was living with the mother and the mother's gone, don't bring those children to me.
Mom,
because I am not accepting them. You are their father. Yes, I can have you, but not the children. So when you, as a father, you have visiting rights. When you take that child from the mother, where do you take the child?
Right, ma'am, can I respond to you now?
To your mother.
Can I respond to you?
Your mother's house.
Okay.
Let me respond to you, ma'am. The group that we've just formed called Fathers for Justice and Parents, okay? We are not only looking at maintenance and we're looking at men who are supporting their kids, they're paying the educational costs, but they're being denied access. Let me repeat. We at this time are not engaging with men who are not supporting their children. Our group is made up of men who support their children as well as their educational fees. There are some men in this country whose names are not on the school registration form. They cannot be cheerleaders at the school sports day. They cannot participate in child's educational life. Those are the men who are you here speaking today. Any man who does not support his child should be incarcerated. I believe in that. Or his salary be garnished. And I'm getting approval of garnishment from the learned judge, former judge. It is not fair that there are men who cannot participate in the life of their children because of some bitterness with the woman. You also have men who do the same thing to women. It is not right. It's an emotional abuse of a child, and it's also a violation of their human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And the country needs to deal with it. In Brazil, it's now a felony. If you don't let the father see the child or the mother see the child, you go straight to prison. No questions asked. All I'm saying, the same emphasis that is played on when there's a breach of a maintenance order,
mm-hmm.
that the woman be punished the same way. But I'm tired of hearing, oh, we can't send women to prison because you know she's the weaker sex, got to take care of the child. So you mean it's just about the man providing money. So when the woman breached that order, and the lawyer takes his time, because I'm hearing a lot of men saying that the lawyer forget to file the documents because the woman breached the order. And lawyers also must take some of the blame for this here. And I'm hoping that the recommendations that the learned magistrate, former magistrate has, is that before you get to court, you must go to counseling. Because the court is no place for the emotional tantrums of parents as well as the children, because the lawyer makes money, but the child continues to suffer emotionally. And this is not right in 2018.
Yep.
Let me correct you. Let me jump in there too, Cammy. Let me correct the caller. I said early in this in the program that when I go, I've been to court and I've seen 18-year-old boys coming to court with 18 or 19-year-old girls, putting them in court. At that age in their life, where did they learn to do that? That's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where did you learn to do that? I'm 43 years old. We got big fathers, Kamiko, probably 49, you know?
Thank you.
And we up in age, crawling about these things. But then you sit down in a room and you see an 18-year-old boy. But what are you doing in the court?
Could I mention too that in my experience, mm-hmm. sometimes it's the grandmother who has forced the girl to bring him to court because she says, you're just 18, I can't afford to support you and your child, so you better put him in court. But that's just anecdotal.
All right, good. So,
and
to say again, she just said, if you're the father, where you can take the child? How many where you can take the child? If you are the father, there are plenty of places that you're going to take your child.
Could I respond to that? Because actually, your caller was perfectly right. And I don't like to deal in anecdotal evidence. But the point is that she cited a number of things that actually do happen in court, and we have to give thought to it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things is that, and we have to acknowledge, a lot of men, I found in my experience, sought access to children, not because they really wanted to have the child for the weekend, but because it was their pound of flesh they were exacting, because they feel, I've paid money, I must have the child. The reason why that comes through is that the moment you give them access, that woman sometimes comes back to you in court and says, but I haven't seen him since then. Mm-hmm. He has not come for the child since then. Mm-hmm. Another scenario is sometimes they come, and while I accept that the child should spend some time with paternal relatives, some of them spend exclusively the time that they're supposed to have access to the child with, they take the child by their mother, their sister, their aunt, their cousin, and they have had no contact with that child. And thirdly, forgive me, Mr. Holder, but the third scenario that I have encountered too is where they have taken the child to on the block with them, and the child then is exposed to everything that's happening there, good and bad. Fourthly, then sometimes they take the child to somebody that they only just met the other day, but they're looking to sort of set up something with, and the mother feels, but why are you taking my child from my home to go to spend time with a stranger that you hardly know and I don't know? I'm saying to you, just bear with me.
I can bear with you.
The lady did raise a number of scenarios that actually do happen. I am here to beg men to see where they are, and also to tell women, you also are. We've got to have a coming together for the sake of children. There's the extreme positions are really not beneficial to children at this stage. We're going to have to acknowledge the wrong that are done on both sides.
Before I let the two men here who charged up are ready to respond, I just want to say that I believe that each of those cases that you would have mentioned an example should be dealt with individually, case by case.
Yes, as opposed to any overall
thing. So yes, man, go ahead.
Let me say this. Yes, you might say some good points, but it goes across the board. Because I know men, if you walk around, you drive around, you look on the blocks, I see women with babies in the hand, with a spliff in the mouth. I see men doing the same thing. And these are young, young people.
And both wrong.
You know what I mean? And they're both young people. Right?
That way.
They're both young people. You understand what I mean? So you can't generalize it to one group of people.
I think what has to happen is, as I say, you need to deal with it. When
you need to deal with it.
It can't be men do this, women do this, so I do this.
My point is that statistically at the moment, and I don't know, unless things have changed drastically in the last couple of years, but the information that we had before is that statistically it was more often men doing that.
Yeah, so agreed. That is, if you look at it now,
that is why you deal with the numbers. Yep. But could I just beg you, don't let's keep beating.
No, we can keep doing that. But what I'm saying, what I want to say is, we have women that coming out
of, forward.
We have women that coming out of relationships too, that men, but well, for me too, and I know a good couple of men that would allow a woman to have another relationship, and a man will see his child. Once she's in a relationship, men don't really, there's a lot of things that men don't really worry about, you know. But me, right? I don't mind you having a relationship, you know. I get to see my child. But in getting to see my child at one point and you moving on with your life, as soon as I move on with my life, I got issue. Because my child now no longer can see me or come into my relationship with who I have. Which is a problem. And which is a lot of men go through this, right? You get, the lady then becomes angry. Oh man, this, my child can't grow that woman that you got. Why? But you'll actually moved on. You have my child around your boyfriend or whoever you moved on with, and it's quite fine with me. You know what I mean?
But no, I think that the case that I was looking at is where it's not as if it's a relationship. It's somebody.
So you don't really know the person, and that's something that is worth flagging, because it's something I've heard about. But I do agree we need to move on. I don't want to just give in case after case. There are specific things I wanted to interrogate in this program, and still holds. I think Faith Masharis have answered one in terms of who holds the court accountable, and I think we've learned that that is the Court of Appeal, even if you have to use legal aid. Mm-hmm. One of the other questions I wanted to interrogate, and I heard two of the guests speak to it so far, and that is that the belief of incarcerating men who do not support or fail to support.
I happen not to support that.
Right, because I happen not to support it either.
One of the recommendations of the 126 recommendations that I made out of my consultancy, one was, let us get rid of putting men in prison for defaulting on maintenance payments. For the very good reason, again, it does not benefit the children. While he's there, they're still not getting
paid.
He might have lost his job, and the debt is not extinguished. The point is
criminal.
Because he is gone there for debt, for contempt. Mm-hmm. Thing. But the debt is not extinguished. He's gone there for contempt. So therefore, we have not helped the situation. I believe strongly in garnishing men's pay. But then, very often, you don't necessarily have an employer that you can give the order to have. Mm-hmm. So when you don't have that, we have to have other means of sanction. Mm-hmm. And I have recommended withholding
driver's license,
because
Australia do that.
Yes, yeah. Driver's license, whatever licenses that people need.
Passports.
I've heard a lot of good ideas coming from you, but my PM, when I sit in this chair too often, is get these things implemented? People come up with these recommendations and solutions, and they're fantastic. But how do you move it from there?
In 2014, I put all of this was presented after town hall meetings and so on. They were presented to the government of the day to implement under a new Brand Children's Act, yes, and various other new legislation. Mm-hmm. I am just in a bad situation here where I'm embarrassed. I went up to do a campaign to sit on the United Nations Committee on Rights, which now looks after the rights globally. I was elected.
I
got 119 countries to vote for me. But you know the embarrassing thing? That many... In the process of my campaign, I had to study the status of children's rights around the world. And one of the things I discovered was that many, many countries that with far less resources than Barbados has managed to enact modern legislation about children, and we are still in the 20s.
Well, I'm embarrassed.
So that means you can't hit that government, you can't hit that magistrate's quarry, you can't hit that the court system, policy, because you still have to go back to the root.
Mm-hmm. So we have lazy people.
You have doing what it's government to do. Institutes here, because we keep saying who holds or speaks for the judicial system in terms of holding them responsible. But like I said, you can't go directly to the courts. There is a process before you should get to the courts.
The
courts is just one process, right? You got to start this process from the child care board, from the social services. These are the people that need to get involved corely into this relationship.
And could
first.
I say that all that we're saying can be put into law
place. Yeah.
Where then
it needs to.
Then it goes to the next stage. We don't have to sit and chat and have a talk shop about it. All these things can be written into a children's act. And although you may be speaking about Fathers for Justice, another number of things that you're asking for would be
in that act.
So the
advocacy needs to be continued and made even more effective in terms of getting to the persons who can sign these things.
Could I give you an example?
Please.
That I want to get out there with so many things that you want to get out there.
Retaliation
when
syndrome.
Charles Griffith MP made a very salient point in the House, great point, when he said the men in this country can't be just sperm donors. He was misunderstood by Mesa and other people about what he meant by sperm donors. He was using the phrase metaphorically. What he was saying is that, and he may have been attacking men, I am not, but I'm saying he's stating something that actually is so. And whose fault it is, it's both persons' fault. What he's saying is that men can't just beget children and walk away, because that child now still needs the father to bring. And no, he also made a great point. But he spoke about it anecdotally. I can speak about it statistically. In 2007, I did a study of all the trends and factors that lead to juvenile offending in the courts, because I was also in charge of the juvenile court. Yeah. And I updated that study in 2011. 90% of the boys appeared before the court lamented to the psychologist, not to me, because everyone had a psychological evaluation, mm-hmm. That they never saw their fathers.
Oh, wait.
Just a minute. Mm-hmm. And that meant that what it said to me was that those boys needed to be shaped by the paternal influence in their lives in order to stay on the right track. No, the way, but sorry, the way is what we all said before. Women who stop children from seeing their fathers, men who don't pay enough attention. It is two sides. Just a minute, don't run away on the fact that it's only one side. I am seeing, if you sat where we sat, say, judicial people, you see that both sides contribute to that state of affairs. So don't get too excited. We have to know. Come to a situation where we get both sides to see this is your role.
So I'm hoping then within your proposal, we can look like what Australia is about to do in terms of 50 shared parenting.
Right.
In addition, Corey, I have a friend who's part of Fathers for Justice. The court granted him access. He pays the maintenance. He pays the educational costs. And you know what the grandparents did recently? They got, you know, trespass order. That's what they did to him to make sure he doesn't have a relationship with his child.
That's
You have fathers, right, who turn up at schools. What are you doing here? Your name is not in registration form. Leave what we call the police.
And I have just done one of those cases where I had to point out to the authorities.
It's wrong.
Just a minute. Let me give you. You see, because I'm saying men have to use whatever help they can get because there's an answer there. There was a case where a father came to me. And he was not being permitted to have a say in his son's education. And this was because he was told by the authorities his name is not on his on the child's birth certificate. I said to him, do you have any evidence that I can use? I said, have you ever had to go to court? A maintenance order was ever raised saying that you had to pay maintenance. He said, yes. I said, well, therefore, I wrote back to the authorities and they said, she has gone to court. And under oath, she has said that he's the father of the child. So that is evidence enough that he must have a say in whatever happens with his child because she was opting for homeschooling, which he did not agree with. And fair. Therefore, he...
Thank you for coming.
So I want to give judicial officers some advice on that then. What would you say to judicial officers?
No, but you go to the court. I am saying...
But why should we waste money when it can be put in law? I'd be carried out.
But I don't know how effective it would be even for just someone to say it. I think judicial officers should. As you say, there must be laws and policies put in place.
And then you go to the court who say, but this is how it has
correct,
to be.
Correct. When they interpret the policies. But just let me do this. Quarter afternoon. Let's go back to the telephone lines and say good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Hi, good afternoon. Sorry to keep you waiting, but you're on the air. Go ahead. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
I'm a first time caller.
Welcome.
I want to say I'm glad that I'm hearing Kent Husbands this morning and you, sir, because you are inspiration on this program on Sunday morning. I was at a lecture yesterday dealing with some of these same things and I think that y'all should bring it into the church so that these people will show more love among men in general. Because then people stereotype men as being, you should be able to do this and you should be able to do that. Whereas, when these get children something, they don't always work as them being together, living together, or whatever the case may be. They grind the men and saying, but if you could go and support another house, so you can do this here for your child, you got to do that. It is not that. It is you and the person get the child together. Y'all got to work out these things. Y'all got to show more love and be more compromised. I had a situation where as I was dealing with a case and the father and the father mother, which would be their grandmother, take care of the child, right? And you know what? The mother took the father to the child care board. So they turn up at the child care board with the letter that was sent by the child care board. When they got there, the lady state that he don't do nothing for the child. So when you say nothing, what do you mean? She said nothing. I said so he don't support the child. So what you're saying then when you say nothing? Do he get the child on weekends? Yes, from Friday to Monday. Take the child to school on Monday morning to take the package to the mother at the house then. So when you are saying nothing, explain to me nothing then. She can't explain. You know what? She get up and leave because then these mothers need to stop it, and the system is bashing men along with the women bashing men. They need to stop it, because then when you go into the court, sometimes the same mothers that went and get a child from this man, they're working for more money than the man, and they knew that before you get the child, now y'all split, you still expect to get $1,000 for a child. The man working for $1,000 a month. Tell me, explain to me these things that have to sit down and look at. When you go into the court, they got some judges that's be lenient and listen, some don't listen, and the thing about it is that a man working for $300, how could you tell a man pay $100 a week? And what the man gonna live off of? If he got another family, how he gonna live? If he takes sick, no, how he got savings to deal with his situation? No, we gotta look at it differently.
But the child is still his responsibility, yeah? No, another family or not is still his responsibility, and it is incumbent on all of them to look after their responsibility.
And let me just again say, we have to look for solutions. Mm-hmm. Because all of those things may very well be true, but we've got to solve the matter. And one of the recommendations that I have is that we ought to follow the best practice in some countries, like Canada, for example, and establish child support guidelines. That is, instead of somebody plucking a figure arbitrarily over the air and say you should be able to pay so and so, we should have established bands. If your income is so much and the mother's income is so much, here is what this child needs, should get in order to be supported. And I want to correct the lady in case she misunderstands. When the judge or magistrate orders, say, I'm using this arbitrarily, $60 a week, it is on the presumption that the mother is matching that with $60 a week. Because it is, he is only contributing to half the child's support. That's one. Mm-hmm. Two, however, we mustn't forget that very often in our instances, because of our situation, that the mother also is usually supplying shelter. And that comes with a cost.
Correct.
Because I have heard of men who are misguided. They feel, but if the child is spending 3 weeks with me, how come I still have to pay, contribute something to the child's welfare? But you do have to, because if you don't supply shelter all the year round, she can't just, because the child is now with his father for 3 weeks, get rid of the house that she's in. She's still got to maintain it. So, but the thing is that the child support guidelines takes all of that into consideration and guides the judicial person as to how much should be each party should be responsible for.
I don't know about y'all, but I am definitely learning this afternoon. 20 minutes afternoon, this is Brass Tax Sunday in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
In terms of the WhatsApp, it says, "Hello, I'm a dad. My daughter lives with me, and it's difficult to get maintenance for my daughter. And the case is in court." This one says, "Of course, it is due process and natural justice, but is it the court's fault that fathers can't find jobs to earn wages to support their children?" This one says, "Good morning, Mr. Lane. What you said is so true. I have three sons, and when they were going to school, they would often come home and complain about teachers beating the boys and letting the girls go free, both at primary and secondary school." This one says, "This government needs to take a serious look at these child maintenance laws. Yes, children must be given the chance to be raised in a way that makes them viable in society. But the act of locking up people for not paying maintenance fees, if they have no ability to pay, is outmoded, not sure, ridiculous, and it is downright stupid." Mm-hmm. This one says, "Good morning, gentlemen and ladies. I know full well men do laugh at other men when they have these problems." And that is true. This one says, this one about the marriage. I don't know if it written in a way I could read it, so I'll err on the side of caution. I'll leave out that one. This one says, "I totally agree with your female panelist in saying that because women deprive the guys from having the girls on weekend, they are now 18, 14, and 7, and they're giving the mother hell, especially the 18-year-old, because of no proper parenting. This one wants to challenge you, magistrate. It says, how could you take away the driver's license so then the man can't even pay support because he may depend on driving for employment?
Right. And I think that, you see, in a forum like this, sometimes it's not possible to tell you all the nuances that the law would provide. One of the things that the Act, my recommendations actually say, unless the driver's license is a tool of trade, that is that you cannot take away a driver's license from somebody who's a bus driver or a taxi driver or something. But if he has a job that does not depend on him driving a car, mm-hmm. and he can find public transport to get to it, then, and it's done around the world, you take away the licenses that are not part of their tools of trade.
Right, maybe catch the bus or ZR.
Well, I'm hoping, Corita, at least we can see women being punished just like men for breach of those access orders.
But I'm suggesting to you that since the Maintenance Act, because this is one of my recommendations, did bear some fruit, and the Maintenance Act was amended in 2014 to allow either parent or guardian to go to the court to get maintenance from the other party.
That's okay, the maintenance.
Right, no, I'm saying, but implicit in that is that if an order can be made against the woman, then she herself would have the same sanctions and the same, she will be.
But he's saying that the court says, and I know this around the world, there's a discussion I had with some colleagues, in relation to, they would not really want to send to prison a woman who has especially young children.
What my recommendation is I don't think either parent can competently look after children from that location. I think that you have to use other means. But let me tell you that one of the things that amendment did, which we didn't have before and which it was agitating for, is that it then empowers the magistrate when making any such order to also make an access order. So if the access order is made, then any sanction that must come with having violated the court order will fall on her, because since 2014, the Act does not just address women. It's women.
But Camille, that addresses your concern. Like, for instance, you have a female who is constantly breaching an access order, so therefore she'll be in contempt of court. Would garnering her driver's license or some other thing, what would you recommend?
She doesn't have a car, so how you...
What would you recommend?
Just a minute. Mm-hmm. I just use the example.
I don't stand up.
But you use, the judicial officer will use whatever will constitute something that she needs, that in order for her to function, she would like, and therefore you...
In Brazil, it's not a felony.
So community service.
Yeah, community service.
I want to hear what you would recommend.
I would recommend, right? Either community service for women who breach those access orders, or in Brazil again, the parent who is estranged is given the child until such time.
Yeah.
And it has to be a very strong message, because too many women are guilty of perjury in this country in law courts of Barbados. And law courts must take a serious stance against perjury by women in these domestic cases. And I have no apology for that. Because too often the men are told they lie, or you don't want to hear from the men.
All right, we're heading towards the latest. Let's see if we can take a quick call. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Good afternoon. You're live on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I would say it's a very good program. And Madam Safe Marshall Harris is talking some good points, because she would be a person that knows about it very well. But what I would also say too is that I find that parents need to understand from inception when they have any children what their roles are, and it needs no bashing men or women, because they have to take part and do what is best for the children. And women, yes, can do things wrong, and men can do things wrong also. And they need to focus on their children and as they are parents, what is the best that can happen for them. And it don't need to go to the courts or whatever, because sometimes the children suffer.
Yeah,
true.
And
true.
I find that, you know, it's too much going on with them. They lack children. It don't be, you know.
for them. It's not good for them.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I was at a seminar and they was saying, you know what, when you're dating women, date a father of your children. Men, date a mother of your children. Don't just date any everybody because things may happen.
But don't date a pretty face.
Yeah, correct. But if you can help this person, I want to say they're trying to find a lost tablet. They would have lost it somewhere around the Melrose area on the 730 St. Patrick's bus. If you have any information on that, you can give them a call, 263-0522. This is Down to Brass Tacks, and it's time for the latest from the Starcom Network News. Welcome back to Brass Tacks Sunday, brought to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. We are bringing to you a program today dissecting and looking at the whole issue of justice for fathers. And I mean, it's really taken some turns, some ups and downs, but I believe they've been mostly educational in terms of what are the things we can do. I would like to use this final part of the program, as we use this last half hour or so, to look at solutions and so on going forward. What are some of the recommendations and how we as Barbadian public can make this happen? Now, one of our guests was saying during the program that we shouldn't really look at the courts, we should look at the policymakers. And I'm going to add to that. I think that we as the public, this is our country, and we've got to use advocacy in a positive way and turn the voices up to bring wonderful recommendations to fruition. And the question is, how do we do that? On the panel today, we have Faith Marshall-Harris. She is well known for many things, but we know her as an attorney. We know her as a former magistrate. We know her now as a child rights advocate and sitting on a global board looking at the rights for the child. He's better known as environmental advocate, but as lately he's been known as a father's advocate. We have Cammy Holder in the studio, and we have Eric Springer. He is a guest today talking to us, coming from the perspective of a father. And of course, we have you on the lines who've been so patient, calling us at 434-1790, and those on the WhatsApp coming to us at 266-4862. Now, we don't usually do this, but let's do this because we didn't get in many calls today. The discussion has been really rolling. So we'll start back with the telephone lines and say good afternoon and welcome to you. You are on the air.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, panel. Yeah, my name is Edward, and I'm one of those displaced fathers who have done everything I believe that was mandated by the court to gain access to my daughter. In so doing, I have been denied access, and moving forward, I try to go back into the court system and get this matter looked at and heard. Before I could stick down in the attorney office, she stated quite openly she is not in for any fire rage. Now, I had to basically say to her, ma'am, my primary goal here is to be able to bond with my daughter. Currently, that person had tried to get this case started again is pursuing another career. So I am at square root of zero. After being, as one may say, one of the cordial parents out there who believed that he's doing everything mandated by the laws of the land to be able to bond with his daughter. My daughter had currently had a 7-year-old birthday, the 11th of October. I haven't seen my daughter in 3 years.